It is time for It's the Law. Stephanie Fould from BCCC Attorneys at Law in Geneva is here. She is our resident legal brief. Hello there.
Hello, Susan.
We're focusing on immigration this show and next week's show. Immigration first for European Union nationals. What are you going to tell us about that?
I'm going to tell you how it came into force and what happened historically before talking next week about non-EU nationals.
All right, so let's go to the history bit then. What's happened? What are the developments for EU nationals?
Well, the big development was that in 1999, the European Union and Switzerland signed seven bilateral agreements, and one of them was free movement of persons. And the whole idea of this is that EU nationals can come to Switzerland, take up activity, take up residence, and work in the same conditions as Swiss people.
But this is Schengen.
No, that is not Schengen, actually. Schengen is more related to free movement, but without implication on the right to work. But I'll come to that.
All righty. So then let's just go to free circulation within the European Union. What does that mean?
It means that actually what Switzerland has done has sort of preserved itself from a very strong, massive affluence of people from the EU area and has put in place several phases. The first phase went until 2007, where most European people, nationals, could come, but the number of people who were allowed to come was limited. And Switzerland had quotas in place, and only a certain number of permits were granted, depending on the high qualifications of the people, and the priority of Swiss nationals was still and had to be respected, and there was a very strong regulation of salaries.
So these quotas existed until 2007.
Exactly.
And what's changed since then?
Well, what's changed for those 15 old member states is that they can come now freely without quota. You still have to require a permit, but there's no more quota for these 15 nations. It's actually Germany, France, Austria, Italy, the ones we know.
So the core EU nations.
Exactly, the core EU nations. Now, there's still limitations for the 8 new ones, which are Poland, Hungary, Czechoslovakia, Slovakia, Slovenia, and so on, where they still have a certain number of restrictions, although they are allowed to come to Switzerland, but there's still a very strong control of the authorities on how they are coming, what they will be earning, and if the employer who wants to employ one has looked to see if he can employ a Swiss resident or EU national from the core ground before taking them as employee.
How strictly is that enforced?
For EU nationals, it's not so strictly enforced, but for non-EU nationals, it's very strictly enforced, and you have to give proof that you have actually researched for finding at first a Swiss national or an EU national.
But an EU national for most employers, obviously, if they didn't want to spend all of the time researching a new employee, they would stick to the core initial group in the EU. They wouldn't try to go to these new member countries, Poland, Czech Republic, Slovakia.
Well, it depends, because now more and more of these people coming from these eight new countries have high qualifications and are of interest for Swiss employers.
Let's look at permits then, because this is a many-layered subject. What type of permits are granted and to whom?
So for EU nationals, the rule is the following. Any EU national can come for 90 days without requiring a permit. He can actually do just what we call online registration, which is an internet system where you just have to give your information in. After 90 days, you need to ask the authority for a permit, which is either a short-term permit, that means less than a year, or for a maximum of 120 days, not on the row. If an employee wants to come and leave the country, come again and leave the country, and he'll ask for 120-day
permit.
This
is the L permit.
It's the L
that
permit
we've heard about, okay.
And then for long-term residents, people who come for a long term and stay here, they'll get a B permit and be able to settle down in Switzerland, which is for a duration of 5 years renewable.
It's still got that cap on it, though, 5 years. But how easy is it to renew?
Very easy. It's just a formality.
You would still have to be in full-time employment, I would imagine, no?
No, you do not have to be in full-time employment anymore, because usually if you've got a B permit and you've been working here, you're entitled to social benefits then. So that means you could theoretically take insurance for loss of earning or loss of employment and then find a new job while you are on your B permit still.
So this is the one that most EU nationals would want to have,
and would
the
get,
B permit.
They would all get that one. And if they're then long enough there, they'll get a C permit and they'll have the same rights as a Swiss national except to vote. And they can only vote on a communal level but they have exactly the same rights. What has, I mean, really changed is that EU nationals can now freely circulate from one canton to the other. They can look for a job in Geneva, but in Vaud also. It's a free circulation in Switzerland, which it did not used to be.
So I could go to Appenzell Inner Roads and
if you're an European national, yes. If you're looking for a job in Appenzell, yes. Good luck.
Not a high employment canton. Wrong one to choose. Okay.
And the last one is the transborder, the permit, where people, and that's a lot of them, live in France or in one of the border countries and work in Switzerland. It used to be limited. They used to have to live just on the border. That is finished. They can live in Paris, work in Geneva, and only go home once a week.
So there's no more obligation to return home. It used to be every day.
Every day. It used to be every day, and that's finished. Now it's once a week, and it's not really controlled if you're a European national.
Bit of a toughie if you're going to have to go back to Brussels or to Paris,
as
you said.
A lot of people do, actually. A lot of people
on
do.
A daily
On a weekly basis.
Sure. I mean, especially in the international cities in Switzerland. What about the different types of stay? What's the legal ground around that?
Well, typically you can come as a tourist, maximum for 3 months. Then you have to leave the country for 3 months and you can come back. Or you can come for gainful activity as an employee or as an independent or as a secondment. Or without gainful activity, that means you just come and settle down, but you have to then prove that you've got enough financial resources to be able to live in Switzerland without having recourse to social help.
And is that strictly policed?
It's strictly
they want
policed.
Bank accounts and...
Well, no, it won't be strictly policed on bank accounts, but they will be make sure that you're not going to social help to get help for any insurances or whatever. And that's got to be... It's compared to a Swiss person who would not have to be... who wouldn't need help either.
And you've got another topic flagged up here, procedure.
Yeah, the big difference between EU nationals and non-EU nationals, that is the procedure for an EU national is only on a cantonal level. There's no interference from the federal authorities.
So you always have to deal with the canton where
exactly.
you reside.
Exactly.
Huh, lots to digest on that one. There is going to be a podcast of this show available on our website. That is It's the Law for this week. And next week, we're going to be looking at immigration issues for non-EU nationals. Thank you so much, Stephanie. I look forward to that.
Thank you, Susan.